Thanks for joining us for Current State here on Wednesday. Wednesday means it's time for our Neighbors in Action segment, where we feature people and organizations working to make the greater Lansing community a better place. Today we feature the Red Cedar chapter of Wild Ones, which is a national organization that promotes environmentally sound landscaping practices and environmental education. And here to tell us more is Betty Siegel, who's the president of Red Cedar chapter of Wild Ones. Hi, Betty.
Hi.
And board member Clara Bratton also joins us. Welcome to Current State.
Hi.
Betty, tell us what your focus is at Wild Ones.
At Wild Ones, we want to help people plant in their own gardens species native to this part of Michigan as a way of helping to restore habitat. One of the things that we all know is we've lost so much habitat because of buildings, roads, railroads, and also because of degradation of natural areas through so many invasive species of plants coming in. So people feel a little discouraged, I think, a lot of times about what they can do about our environment. And so often we're waiting for someone to have legislation or propose a new proposal for a park. This is something we can do ourselves.
This is a grassroots thing.
That's
right. To overwork a metaphor there.
We can go out and plant native plants in our own yards. It's a very empowering experience.
Now, can you see the impacts of this? Are these really visible if you're paying attention?
Yes.
Talk to us about that.
As individuals get more and more native plants in their yards, they attract more birds, more wildlife, more insects. I know we don't like to talk about insects, but they're very necessary in our world.
Some of them, yeah.
Most of them, actually. We may not like them, but the other inhabitants of the environment depend on them. And so when you have little oases of native plants from here to there, you will see the animals following those plant species.
And, you know, there are a lot of insects that we do like. Mm-hmm. One of the things you think about is fireflies, for example. How many people say, gee, I remember all those fireflies.
As a kid.
Yeah. As a kid. Where are they? Well, people have tidied up their yards too much. Fireflies don't need lawn, they need leaf litter. So if you leave a part of your yard a little untidy, plant some shrubs, have leaf litter under the shrubs, and don't clean that stuff up so early, don't bag it all up. Let it lie there and be natural. That's where all those beneficial insects are overwintering.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting here envisioning a web, kind of an ecological web. You're saying that a greater number of native species strengthens this ecological web.
Definitely.
You know, and invigorates it, basically.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that's so interesting that I only learned about this recently is most insects are specialists. 90% of insects can only eat one or a few types of plants. So if we don't have the plants that are native to this region, we won't have the insects that are native to this region. Then when the migrating birds come back from the tropics at this time of year, what are they going to feed their young? They are very insect dependent. Just like mammals have to feed high protein milk to their young, birds have to feed high protein insects to their young. Mm-hmm. So they need the native insects. That means we need the native plants. Then we'll have the native birds.
Mm-hmm. You alluded to the fireflies a minute ago. Mm-hmm. What are some of these native plant species that mid-Michigan could benefit by having more of? What's at the top of your list? When you walk into somebody's backyard and they ask you, what should I plant? What are your top three?
Yeah. Well, first of all, variety is the name of the game, diversity. So you don't want one plant in your yard. You want a clusters of many plants. You don't want necessarily one of this and one of plant and, you know, one and one and one, but little clusters of different species. So if you can have 10 or 12 or 15 species of native plants, starting with trees, an awful lot of insects rely on tree leaves. And the major one are oaks. Oak trees provide food for an awful lot of insects, which then provide food for birds.
So, any kind of oak tree or a particular species of oak?
A lot of them are good. I mean, I don't think any of the native oaks would be bad.
Mm-hmm. But the white oaks, the ones that are in the white oak group are actually the top ones. They support over 500 species of Lepidoptera, which are the moth and butterfly caterpillars. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing is, if you have oak trees, you never notice these caterpillars. It's not like your tree is being defoliated. The balance of nature is such that if you have the native plants and the native insects, then you'll also have the native insect predators, not only birds, but other insects and spiders and newts and frogs and, you know, all the different things that eat insects will feed on those, and everything will be in balance.
We are talking with Betty Seagull and Clara Bratton of the Red Cedar chapter of Wild Ones, and they promote environmentally sound landscaping practices and environmental education. Let's talk about that piece. What sort of things do you do in the community to educate people, Clara?
We do have programs. They're open to the public. We have a website, wildoneslansing.org, to go to, and our programs are on there. We meet at Fenner Nature Center, and everyone is welcome. You don't have to be a member. And the programs we have are educational, telling us about shrubs, about plants, about how to design your plans landscape, about soils and the importance of soils to what this whole system is, far as the microbes, the insects, the creatures, that the fungi, and how it relates to the plants. Without the good soil system to start it, nothing does as well as it should.
There's going to be an awful lot of dirt underneath people's fingernails here in the next 6 weeks.
Definitely.
You're saying the soil plays a role in this as well.
Yes.
Okay.
And this is a good opportunity because we've had so much storm damage. People have lost trees and shrubs. So this is the time of year where people are going to be making a decision about what to plant to replace what they've lost. And we really like to encourage people to plant something native in place of that exotic plant that they lost. Mm.
Where does your funding come from?
It comes from our membership. It is a national organization. A portion of the local members comes back to our group, but the majority of it comes from fundraisers, and our major fundraiser are 3 plant sales during the year. And then from those, we have mini grants to give out to community organizations to establish native plant gardens at their sites, and we've done several of those.
I'm curious if you advise people with regard to pesticides and what's the right way and the wrong way possibly to eliminate a pest or something that people regard as a pest.
Well, first of all, we need to educate ourselves about what's really a pest. You know, I had a funny experience. I've just been doing this for a few years. So my husband and I selected a hackberry tree, which was a tree I'd never heard of before. We planted this tree in our yard. It's a beautiful native tree. And a little while later, we saw some caterpillars eating the tree. And our first reaction was,
Get rid of the caterpillars.
We need to get the pesticide. And then we went, wait a minute, that's why we planted this. So we didn't do anything. And the tree is absolutely fine. I presume some bird came along and ate those.
Mm-hmm. How much awareness is there of this focus of your group? Do you find you're really spreading a gospel here?
Yeah.
Or would you characterize as the awareness is pretty good?
It's becoming better and better every year. There's much more awareness out there. We were at the Home and Garden Show this spring, and we've done it for several years in a row. And every year, people have more questions, are more informed, are more curious about the native plant, putting native plants in their yards.
What do you like most about this, Betty? This kind of work?
I love the feeling that I'm doing something good for the environment and something good for myself. I'm creating a nature center in my own backyard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if people want to get involved, what opportunities are there, Clara?
Come to the programs. Get involved. We do have volunteer opportunities. We have the native plant sales, which our members have to staff. They are coming up in May. So we welcome people to come out and take a look and talk to us and, you know, ask questions. We'll be more than happy to help them. The first one is May 10th at the Lansing City Market, and the second one is May 24th at the Meridian Farmers Market.
And you can learn more at wildoneslansing.org. What do you like most about this work, about being involved in this?
Being involved, I have always loved nature. I've been very concerned about all the invasives coming in, and all the which is basically because of destruction of the existing habitat. It gives them a doorway to come in and to reestablishing the native ecosystem as it is.
We want to continue.
Yes. I'd also like to make a point that it's easier to grow native species because they are adapted to our local conditions. Mm-hmm. We have some pretty crazy weather here in Michigan. One day it's 40, and the next day it's 70, and then the day after that it's 28.
Right.
Native plants, because they are native to this region and they have evolved here, can tolerate that kind of weather.
Betty Siegel is the president of the Red Cedar Chapter of Wild Ones. Clara Bratton is a board member. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thank you.
We could always use more nominations, and we know there are people and organizations out there doing excellent work. We need to find out about them. Please help us out. Tweet us suggestions at KAR Current State or send us an email to currentstate@wkar.org. Put Neighbors in Action in the subject line and tell us why you think they should be featured for the great work that they do.